It is 7 o'clock. We'll call to order the regular town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. If everyone could please rise and join Vice President Graham in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I please have roll call?
Roll call to take it. Let the record show.
Thank you so much. I'd like to open up for public comment. Public comment is 3 minutes on anything that is not on the agenda and is also within the jurisdiction of the town. If anyone has any public comment, yeah, please.
Surprise.
Hi, Dan.
Welcome back.
So last meeting was quite interesting with all the people here, and got me thinking that there must be some way to monetize these guys, right? So they seem to have deep pockets. They're very enthusiastic about their sport. So you know, what can we do? I noticed there's kind of a vacant shack back here that would make a perfect place for equipment rentals. Maybe a small snack bar. Maybe rent equipment out to them. This could be on the weekends. It could also double maybe for the recreational swimming because kids will want, you know, candy or whatever. So I think that's a way they could provide some additional revenue to the rec center. Build out, make it better bathrooms, stuff like that. That was one thing. The next topic is Chichini Ranch, which apparently one of the board members sort of ignited a conversation on next door. Another former board member piled onto that, and so there's been a lot of talk about that. And I would be interested to know whether or not the board is in favor of Chichini, or whether or not the town would like withhold services to try and stop the development. It doesn't seem like that's pretty feasible, but it'd be interesting to know where we stand at this point in time. Also, what's crazy about the whole Chichini Ranch thing is no environmental impact. This seems crazy considering the amount of the change to the town as a result of the additional residents and structures is going to be material, significant. So I think it somebody needs to do an environmental impact to look at infrastructure, fire station, traffic, and then I think the town needs to come up with a laundry list of things. This is what we need. If this is to go ahead, this is what we need, and we stand by that. We advocate for it. We advocate it here at the county, you know, wherever we can, make sure that if it does come to be, that it comes to be in a way that we can allow to see that way. That's Chichini, and lastly, okay, still time. Part of the, you know, I was here for a lot, and then I bailed on you guys for a while. And this is because I didn't feel like I was having an impact, that I was kind of wasting my time here. I'd come in, and by the time things got to the board, you know, it was already a yes or no decision, and then there's really not a whole lot of scope to change minds and to make an impact. So what I'd like to propose is that the town creates an advisory board, a citizens advisory board, to advise the board members, but more importantly, the management on how we feel about issues. So imagine if you had at your disposal somebody who has business and management skills and contract negotiations and has years of experience doing it. Imagine if you had someone who knows how to build buildings and is in commercial real estate and knows the ins and outs of that at your disposal.
I don't mean to cut you off, this is a great discussion. If you wouldn't mind, just wrap it up a little bit.
Yeah, last bullet point. Imagine if you had somebody with former experience on CSD who could come in and give their opinion management as well as the board members, but mostly I think to management.
have anybody online?
President Ballard, if I may, I'd just like to make one comment.
Sure.
Don't believe what you read on Nextdoor. Most of what you read isn't true. So do your research before you come up and make statements that tends to verify things that aren't valid. And I'll just let you go ahead and do that on your own. And if you have the advisory committee thing, I go ahead and talk to staff about it, and they'll tell you the ins and outs of why it can or cannot happen, or at what level it can happen, and whether it can involve the board at all or not.
Right. Okay.
Staff knows the rules, and we're bound by legal.
I'm trying to confirm or deny anything next door, just the fact that it's out.
Well, you made some statements that backed up some things that weren't accurate.
Okay, I didn't mean to. If you're talking about withholding services, I know that.
I appreciate it. If you have a second, stay afterwards, and I'll come talk to you. Thank you. Is there anybody online that wants to comment? Okay. Anyone else in the audience wants a public comment? All right. We'll close public comment and we'll move to the consent calendar.
Make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter. Aye. Director Cusho.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
President Graham.
Aye.
President Callahan.
Aye. Thank you. We have a MAC item.
Yes. At our last meeting that we talked about MAC, I do not have the date in front of me. It was quite some time ago. A couple questions came up. One was regarding vessels and trailers being parked on the street, and is it whose jurisdiction is it? It is the sheriff's jurisdiction for 36 hours, and that is a Discovery Bay ordinance, if you will, only. And this was signed in 1983. So the other piece of this was vessels and trailers parked in driveways. They need to be 90% covered in the street, in the driveway, in the driveway, in the side of the house. And that ordinance is in all of unincorporated Contra Costa County, not just Discovery Bay. So there's the answers to the two questions. You probably forgot that you asked those. It's been so long. I do have a bit of information on the sound walls. Not quite what I would like to report, but it's making slight progress. So Burgess's office said they still have not been able to come up with any money for the sound walls. There are monies, there's funds available, a little more than $67,000 to be used for parks and such, but it cannot be used for sound wall painting or maintenance. So what they will do, if we ask them to, is send letters to the homeowners and or HOAs stating it is their responsibility to maintain the sound wall, the homeowner's responsibility or the HOA to maintain the sound walls if we request. Because right now, if you recall, it's kind of a no man's land. Does it belong to the county? Does it belong to the town? So that's as far as we've gotten with that. However, it still greatly bothers me that we would tell the homeowners this when so much of it needs a good coat of paint and some of it needs to be patched. So I'm going to go back again to the county and see if we can come up with any funds whatsoever. And even if they can't give us all the funds, maybe we, and this would be up to the board, we'd have to discuss this, and please no eye rolling, but maybe even go out for fundraising. Maybe ask some of the groups in town who give money to charities and such, but come up with a way that we can have the sound walls painted looking good, which will last for many years, and then have the letter sent, okay, it looks good, and the homeowners, now it's their responsibility. And that's all I have.
Great, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move to presentations. We have a field day presentation.
Good evening, board. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I will try my best to be as brief as possible. April was pretty uneventful. Pretty normal running the mill. Rain has kind of slacked off for us, so no real upswing. back up to our previous record, but it's going to take a while. We covered a lot of cattle washer requirements. We got a silk trips and falls course. We did stop work with authority training and some hot work permitting, which is becoming pretty, a lot of folks in the industry these days are getting hurt for doing things like that. So just bringing that attention to our crew. On the next slide, all five wells are active. All five of this will shut down and inactive as of 2 months ago. So well four and well seven are open in port, and then well one, two, and three, and six are still open in port. On the next slide, as you can see, we're starting to enter our peak season, and Newport is starting to take the lead on our production. We're trying to force wood to run as much as we can to try to keep all seven from pushing the higher electrical conductivity through the system. Try to be a little bit easier on the wastewater outfall. But as of April, we were at 71.16 million gallons and 5,700 gallons of sodium chloride. On the next slide, we had 25 samples collected in the month of April, zero were positive for call form, zero water quality complaints. We have not started the valve exercising or hydrant flushing for the year. We generally will wait to make sure, and this year we shouldn't have a drought, shouldn't be mandated or anything like that. So what we try to do is wait before the end, maybe Labor Day-ish, and before we start flushing.
Anthony, can you throw that as we get into the summer months, so the board, because we I'm on the water, and I don't really constantly grasp the concept of how we're affected by the seasons. Can you put that into a graph that goes back to last year for us so we can see our water consumption and how we're affected by the summer months? Okay. I think it'd be advantageous for us all to know how much that increases, what to expect there. And then also that'll help us to understand when well seven has to be put more into production in that type of thing. And I just think it'd be a good tool for us.
And that part was, if you remember the presentation, about a couple of months ago, had the graphs and stuff in there.
Yeah.
I am working on a better system that'll get a little bit easier to keep that and a little bit easier for everyone to read. So that is going to factor.
Thank you.
Where's the 25 samples collected from? Is that the curious?
So the system is required by law. Every public water system is required to have X amount of call form samples, official stations that you'll see little metal, little tall, probably yay high sample points that are scattered across town.
Yeah, like there's one by my house.
Right. So they are designated under our what's called a BSSP with the state, and we have to collect X amount of samples per month, in our case, five per week. And we rotate those sample points to evenly cover the entire distribution system. And that's what those samples represent. So by not having a positive means that there was no indication of either a presence or presence of a harmful or sometimes in some cases a good bacteria in the water. So that's a good thing.
How many sample locations do we have?
You have 12.
And they're you just rotate around through them so they're random.
Next slide, please. On wastewater, all 15 lift stations are active, no issues. We have began our annual pulling of each of the lift station pumps, cleaning, de-ragging, things like that. So you will see some of our equipment at the lift stations, various entryways and things like that. But nothing really out of the ordinary there. Next slide. Wastewater treatment plant two. So if you notice last month we were at 36 million gallons, and this time last year we were at 34 million gallons. What's happened is we finally started receiving or getting some of that additional rainwater that's actually coming through the treatment plant now, or at least gotten out to the discharge, so that's why they've got an increase. Influent flow and discharge flow are pretty normal, 1.2 million, so nothing really to worry about there. On the next slide, all of our DOD samples, our filtration samples are good. You do see that our connectivity is starting to slowly creep back up. We were able to limp along last year without well 7, and it
is it still on the table? The I know you had started some discussions with the state about having that raised.
That's correct.
Is that still in progress?
That is, and it, we should find out prior to the end of this year. Okay. And if any changes on the new permit should be effective January 1st. So hopefully they were pretty receptive of our request to increase that limit. I mean, almost no pushback whatsoever, so that's a good sign.
Okay.
But I just asked this for point of reference, when I stood on the board, that was 1,800.
Okay,
so we can
nice.
Get an increase.
Wow.
Yeah. And then nitrates, the number, that little bitty old number, is the whole reason we all built the denitrification project, right? So we're still, our current limit until January is 38, but 5 is the new limit that is pending, so we're out under that, our shoot, and 10 is the limit, 5 is over, and so we're going to
that 38 will become a 10, is that what you tell us?
That's right.
Okay.
And remember the discussion we had last, I think last week, about our farmer neighbor there.
Mm-hmm.
As of April, we were able to, we only had one of those samples that exceeded. We provided enough information to the state trying to push back that it is not representative of the wastewater system. We don't have an official response from them yet, but it does sound like they're listening to it. So either way, if they do hit us with a fine on that, we have plenty of evidence to push it on the farmer. And if it's highly likely that Bay Area air quality is going to help us with that. And even so, we're still pushing for a change in our sampling parameter at the wastewater plant in the farm. So we no longer have to worry about the farmer.
So only once we were previous to that, we had several.
We had some sporadic ones,
yeah.
But there was only a hit because we were about to have to.
Can we correlate that to a windy day or anything like that?
You that goes with it. Every time
okay.
we have an experience,
right.
you have to document all of that.
Okay.
So it's part of it.
Has there been any activity to take that down or to move it?
The landowner that just recently purchased the land is on the town side. He's not happy that the current farm is doing that. He's apparently against the lease, and he's working to try to mitigate that. So, but he's well aware of the situation, and he did come visit the plant. So I think we've got some positive feedback on that. Other than that, any questions?
Thank you very much. Okay. Item F1, discussion and possible action. Discussion and possible action regarding Veolia North America Third Amendment to the Water and Wastewater Operations and Maintenance Service Contract.
Yes, so that was brought to the Water and Wastewater Committee at the last meeting. I'm also going to pass it over to Andy Knapfield because he's been working good stuff and Veolia's legal team to get this process.
Thank you, Dina. So before you, there should be an additional agenda material so that the information in the agenda packet is full. This is new. This incorporates the most recent updates to the Veolia agreement, and I will be going through them from the top to bottom. We've read the staff report. There have been some minor changes, so I'll tell them. So, this all stems from the coming online of the denitrification plan. And so, Veolia has been talking with the town as this project has progressed. And indicating that the last time we updated the assets for the town was in 2016. So the 2016 assets are a little bit different than the 2024 assets. So we engaged in those discussions, and this is the result of those discussions. So the underlying agreement itself is all going to remain in place. And these are the only provisions that will be changed at this point in time. Our agreement goes through 2026. So the first one is section 1.22, and what that section is we want to have a dedicated project manager or plant manager now be handled. So we want, the issue here was we wanted somebody that Dina and her staff would be able to interface with on a regular basis without having to have somebody roving around the region.
Mm-hmm.
So Julia was on board with that, and that's what this says here. The next thing is that we're going to have a surveyor operator in charge who's going going to be responsible and designated to the department. So that's different than what we just talked about with our plant manager. Certified operator will be able to go around to regional facilities. This is the individual that carries the license in order for us to operate the plant. So we have a grade four, I think, out there. Is that what we have with this pleasure and pleasure plant? We're
classification is three current staff that are four and five.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, we have a three plant, and look, our operator right now is or grade four. So this one just indicates that we're going to have somebody that's going to designate to us, but they will be able to. So, if there's any questions in the interim, feel free to just interrupt. The next section is Appendix F1 and F2. Those are going to be deleted in their entirety. And if I'm remembering correctly, F1 and F2 were job descriptions for personnel that we don't even incorporate into the at one point in time, we identified certain job functions, and that was under term manager Davies, and that's just since hasn't worked out, so we're leaving that out of the section 2.1. This is the money part. So see here, 2.1 says that the annual fee is going to be adjusted after, and just so you have an idea, it's about $333,000 added in additional cost. So the new annual fee will be 2.1, $2,182,325.10. Staff did do some market research on this through Gregory, our wastewater engineer, and this was determined to be relatively competitive, very competitive in the market. So staff didn't have any concerns given our facility and just everybody else out there that is competing for this type of work. One nuance to this section is that well five occurs and deeded with it, Julia has agreed to reduce our annual fee by $42,000. So there'll be a period of time that I think we're in the decommission process.
When is that going to be completed, Anthony?
Still putting that together.
Yeah, we're still putting the compact together.
To decommission what?
That's a bid project.
It's a bid.
Yeah, so it could be a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does anybody have any questions with regard to the fee? All right. So moving forward, the next section is 2.4. We deleted it in its entirety. What 2.4 did in the old agreement was it identified how the formula for increase of our annual. What they've done is they've added it to section C6. It's based on some indexes, or there's a formula. It's a little complicated, but it seems to be workable. In that formula, one thing that we were able to negotiate into it was a floor and a ceiling. So what I mean by that is that in the event that you have a wild year of COVID, where we've got this really unusual CPI in the neighborhood of 8-9%, what we've done is we've capped the town at 5%. In the event that we have a negative year or the economy gets bad, we don't have the luxury of having a 0% or a negative, people won't look down. Billy wanted at least 2% per year. So we're going to be, your fee is capped at 5% annually as an increase, but it's a minimum of 2%. The next element of this is Appendix B1, and Appendix B1, this is your schedule of assets. So this is where the schedule of assets has been updated, and it's been updated to identify that the assets are going to be as it says here, March 1st, 2024. That's when everything came online, so we don't have any new assets from March to date, but March 1st of 2024, the assets as they were at that moment in time. Those are the assets that they're going to be taking care of. There's only one asset that is probably going to change. change when we get to that year. That's about 8, but that's a little bit of a ground for it. The first one is the reference wastewater treatment plant 1. So wastewater treatment plant 1 will be removed from the asset list. And we're going to replace it with the just calling in retention pump, inflow pump station, and bypass pump station 1. Those are going to be remaining assets that are going to still continue to be in operation or of use in the event that they're needed. But the weed control or weed abatement at that site is remains. So there's still going to be the obligation of Yulia to continue.
For the entire site?
That's correct.
Okay. But all the assets outside of the new pump station and the headworks over there, with regards to the building, the old clarifiers, the old lock stitch, that's our asset now. We own it. We only have nothing.
Yeah, we owned it, and that was ours.
Well, we always owned it, but I mean...
But they have no...
They have no... There's going to be no maintenance other than weed abatement. That's their only responsibility. So all those ponds back there and all that, that will be abated. But there's going to be no action taken by Veolia other than where the head was. Or where the pump... Or the station W, whatever it is.
The retention pond will be
a part of the
asset.
In the front?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but for all intents and purposes, it's our understanding that not much has been happening with that anyhow.
For all intents and purposes, just defining it for what it's been.
Yes.
Right?
So now we're at the well eight. So the well eight is one of the elements that is on the old one, and the only one to do was clarify what they were willing to take on under this fee agreement and the same old fee. What that means is, back in 2016, we were contemplating well eight. Well eight was contemplated to be simply one. As time has gone on, that has changed, and it's going to be a standalone treatment facility. So, Yulia said, well, it's not online right now. We're not going to include it in your fee at this moment in time, because we don't know when that's going to come online. We can't predict the future. So what they're saying here is that in the event that, or when that does come online, that additional scope that would be in addition to what was contemplated at the outset, which is that, well, the additional scope of operating the treatment facility portion would be additional services. And those would grow in accordance with our agreement as it stands now, where if they do additional services outside of what their scope is, they document that with some sort of form of task order, and then that makes its way to DENA through the invoicing and through the administration, and you all see that as a report. Next element is there's a new table of rolling stock and generators. So that's been worked on with staff and Julia. So that's just upgraded to it's more of a housekeeping inventory. 4.18 is the our work order system. So what we've changed it to is we deleted the just calling it the jobs plus, and it's just town discovery based system. So jobs plus was a system that was used at one time, and that's a trade name. We're not using that anymore. So what we've done is we've just identified we're going to use a system, and it's whatever system that we have. The next one, same exact thing. So this is InfoNet. InfoNet is another trade name for a specific software for GIS, and it's going to just be called the town's GIS. And this is all related to when they're out in the field and they're identifying our different assets and they're going to plug them in, they're going to identify them in a geolocation. They're going to provide that information to the town, because the town is going to, Aaron and his department are going to be building out a GIS system so that when we do make calls, and we get called out to these facilities, we'll have a little bit of a history as to what's going on without going back into the paperwork and identifying just like a physical record. The next section here, 4.223, this is going to be, this is another cleanup item. This item in the original agreement was they had an obligation to exercise all of the valves annually, I think it was. And flushing all of the valves. What they're saying now is that they're going to flush all the valves in the distribution system and next section has to do with valves, and on our in the previous agreement said they were going to exercise all the valves annually. Well, that's just, we've got a lot of valves. So that just doesn't seem feasible. So what they're doing is on a four-year rolling basis will hit all 100%. Each year they're going to go through 25% of the valve. And when they do that, they're going to geolocate the valve and provide that information to the town so that, as you know, in the event that we do a repair and the valve moves, we're going to be able to identify that and put that into our GIS system. The next section is same type of housekeeping, trade names, take out the trade names and make it to where it's flexible. And attachment C6 is the, if you look in there, C6 is the annual fee adjustment formula. So that's what we omitted from the agreement itself, and now we have this annual fee adjustment formula. You see the formula there, it's got the two indexes, the consumer price index for all the consumers, and then the employment cost index, and there's a math equation down there that goes through. It also has 2% floor and 5% ceiling. We reported on this to the wastewater committee. Wastewater committee gave a recommendation of approval, provided that we're going to finish the negotiation. We have done that, and this is the result of that finished negotiation. We've spoken with Dina. Dina's been worked with staff, everybody again. So Gregory and Aaron and all of the town staff have touched this to ensure that operationally it's feasible and financially it's something that we can accept. So with that, happy to answer any questions. And then if there are no more answer questions, we recommend a motion to authorize Dina to execute the amendment to the bill.
Are there any clarifying questions before we go to public comment? Do we have any public comment? I see none. Any online?
No hands are raised.
All right. We will close public comment. Come back to the board for any discussion.
Yeah. I was just going to say, as Eagle had mentioned, this did come through to water, wastewater, and it was reviewed. I mean, this is something that hasn't been done since 2016. It's desperately needed. And so I think it's good that it has half some of those ends, and we have a plan in place. Mm-hmm.
We reviewed it kind of in depth and understood that you know, we've been paying part of the 2016 contract did include maintenance of plant one, which now is going to go away. So you would think you'd be getting a rebate, but then we had a denitrification. Mm-hmm. And so we quizzed legal and staff and made sure that we were being fairly compensated and those adjustments were being made fairly back and forth. I think that was really our only concern. The rest of it was just kind of clean up stuff. So I would move staff recommendation.
I'll second.
So the only clarifying thing to staff recommendation is that this is the fourth amendment says third. So provided that it's inconsequential, but what we want to do, I just want to make sure that we're doing the fourth amendment.
I would move staff recommendation for the fourth amendment.
Okay.
I second.
All right, can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter. Aye. Director Tito.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Graham.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Legal. That
it
was,
is,
yeah.
Good. I'd like to thank Anthony and staff for working with us. They're very reasonable, patient. This was a long process, so really, it was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I know that's a lot of work going back and forth, especially when you get Legal involved. So. General Manager. Can I get H1, please, General Manager report?
Sure. So I have two items to discuss tonight. The first one is LHME, Public Comment Strategy Coordination Meeting. In an effort to make the county more disaster ready and resilient, the Contra Costa County Office of Emergency Services is seeking public feedback on the 2024 Local Hazard Mitigation Plan. This plan serves as a guide for the county to become more resilient to the impacts of natural, human health,
you.
Seeing no other items, I through M. Any future agenda items from the board? All right, with that, we'll adjourn 7:38. Thank you.